It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Your host, Charlie Potter, here on WGN Radio. Thank you very much for joining me as we head into what will be the beginning of hunting season across America on Tuesday, September 1st. Dove season will open in most of the states in America, and that means that the seasons, whether the thermometer tells us or not, the seasons are changing. My guest this morning is Chris Dorsey, who I've had on the air before. Chris was the founder of Dorsey TV, along with numerous other areas of production and promotion of the outdoor industry and the television industry, and also is the executive producer of an IMAX movie, which we'll talk a little bit about before the show is over. I wanted to have Chris on this morning to talk, first of all, though, about what is happening to the long-held tradition of having wildlife managers, those who have degrees and careers in wildlife management, being cast aside by political whims, ballot initiatives, and people who have no experience and what it might mean the future, frankly, of hunting and fishing and land management in America. So, Chris, thanks so much for joining me this morning. You're always kind to come on the Great Outdoors Show.
Happy to be here, Charlie. Always good to be with you.
So what is happening, Chris, particularly in that favorite state of California, which just can't seem to help itself from frankly getting in the way of responsible wildlife management? And then obviously there's a big controversy now in Colorado, where I know you live and have worked, to do with wolves. Can you give us a bit of a background for those listening across America as to how the ballot box, if you will, is replacing management?
Yeah, what we have in Colorado, Charlie, is a ballot initiative that will force, if it passes, the introduction of wolves into the state of Colorado. Now, they did once live here 40, 50 years ago, and yet the subspecies of Canadian gray wolf that's being proposed to be released into the state of Colorado is really not the same animal that once lived here. It's substantially larger, a more efficient predator, et cetera. But I think the most disconcerting aspect of the whole deal, and I wrote about this in my Forbes column, is the fact that the Wildlife Management Department here in Colorado, Parks and Wildlife, had looked at this issue, I think, three or four different times. And at each case, they studied this to the tune of $1 million of investment and came back, and the recommendation of the governor and the legislature was, do not introduce wolves. It just is not a good idea for a wide variety of reasons. And yet the out-of-state forces, quite frankly, 75% of the money to get this initiative on the ballot came from outside of the state of Colorado. So this really is not a Coloradan resident situation pushing for wolves. This is really an out-of-state situation where even the Tide Center out of San Francisco, which is a George Soros-backed entity, is really playing a key role in this entire effort to try and force the introduction of wolves into Colorado, particularly the Western Slope, which is a more rural area, farm and ranch country, smaller towns, and they absolutely don't want it. There's some 64 counties in Colorado, and I think 35 or 38 counties now have already passed resolutions saying they do not want wolves. And most of those counties are in the Western Slope area. So what they did, this is a really interesting dynamic, because they completely circumvented the state agency, the professionals, the scientists, the biologists, and the researchers at the State Department here in Colorado. And they decided to go ahead and see if they could get this on the ballot by going to principally Denver to get these signatures. And what they said was, the wolves are going to be released on the Western Slope, but we're going to have you people in Denver sign this petition to get it on the ballot. So it's just such an egregious approach to wildlife management. And so that was the premise of the article in Forbes, was really to say, we have got to get away from ballot box biology. It's a disaster, and it's systemically a problem. And this goes back to the early 90s in California when they passed Proposition 117, which was to ban mountain lion hunting. You can imagine the ads in San Francisco and Los Angeles and San Diego, warm, you know, fuzzy kind of images of mountain lions, cuddly, et cetera. Well, the upshot of that now is the state of California kills more mountain lions through depredation permits than were ever taken by sportsmen in that state. So these unintended consequences that come along with ballot box wildlife management are always there. It's always a problem. And so, you know, it's something, as I dug into this, doing the research for my story, I mean, it was really quite amazing just how nervy these out-of-state forces are. And it impacts sportsmen, of course, in the state of Colorado. Hunting and fishing is a $1.8 billion a year industry to the state of Colorado. The largest elk herd in the United States by far resides in the state of Colorado. And hunting and fishing is very important to these rural economies. They don't have big government jobs. They don't have big industry to fall back on. They need these sporting jobs. And so to go to Denver, convince residents of Denver to sign a petition to put this on the ballot this November and foist these wolves onto the western slope where they absolutely don't want them, quite frankly, is not fair to the wolf.
Well, it's interesting. We're visiting with Chris Dorsey, who has written off. I know, Chris, you're a frequent contributor to Forbes magazine, and among other things. And we're talking about how we end up with, I love your saying, ballot box biology. That is really the way to summarize this, of how on earth, Chris, this is not a political show, but how on earth would George Soros get interested in funding a group to put wolves on the western slope? Is there of Colorado, which as I understand, have a profound impact on the elk population. And as you said, hunting is a billion-dollar-plus industry in Colorado. These communities depend on big game hunting. Many of our listeners, if they haven't been west big game hunting, know people who have. What would be the end game? Why would somebody want to diminish the economic opportunity of rural America, in this case Colorado, by bringing in an invasive species? This is not the normal wolf that was there, and to change the balance that exists, which right now is a balance where if there are too many elk, hunters can take surplus elk. Otherwise, they're well managed. What do you think is the rationale to try to do this?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to know. I mean, there's the cynical view that this is all part of an ideologically driven hit from the left onto, because basically all these organizations are left-wing organizations, Defenders of Wildlife, Sierra Club, you know, again, the Tide Center, they're all left-wing, left-leaning organizations. Many would call them radical environmental groups, and I don't think that's too far-fetched for multiple of those organizations that are part of the coalition trying to foist the wolves onto the state of Colorado. So whether or not that controls hunting, it reduces hunting because animals decline, which we've seen in states like Wyoming and Idaho and in Montana, where the wolves have had a significant impact on game populations, on livestock, quite frankly. And case in point, in Wyoming, when we talked to the biologists up there, prior to the wolf introduction, I think it was 1994, they had some 10,000 moose in that state. And now they've got fewer than 1,400. And that's almost all attributable to the population of wolves now in that state, which is grown exponentially. So, and the other thing is, wolves are coming into the state of Colorado right now. They've come across the line from Wyoming into Colorado. And the estimates are that to force an introduction of wolves into the state of Colorado would cost something like $6 million over a few years. And quite frankly, we've got a massive budget deficit right now because of the COVID situation, lack of tax revenue. So just the cost alone, who pays for this? You're going to ask sportsmen to fund this, you know, something that they don't even want? You're going to ask them to fund this? Because the animal rights groups that are saying, let's introduce the wolves, aren't saying, we're going to pay for it, okay? So it's even that disingenuous. So it really is a very sinister play all the way around, and whether or not it's a left-wing conspiracy, I don't know. But clearly, it doesn't make any sense. And the real thoughtful, if you really wanted to care about the wolf, the approach would have been to go to the stakeholders in those areas where you want to introduce wolves and talk to them and figure out strategies there. Well, we would pay for compensation for lost livestock. Here's what we would pay. All that kind of stuff would have been a legitimate approach to try and do this. But instead, to backdoor it through the electorate in Denver that doesn't have a clue about any of this, they say, you know, the question I'm sure they were asked was, wouldn't it be great to have wolves in Colorado? Sure it would. We'll just sign here, right? It's that kind of nonsense. So basically, we're seeing this across the country, though. This isn't just isolated to California and to Colorado. You're going to see more and more of this because it's a great play for animal rights and anti-hunting organizations to bypass the state agencies. It's a backdoor approach to the entire process that they've now discovered can be incredibly effective. So, you know, it's, again, if you're a state biologist, a researcher, a manager charged with the responsibility of managing wildlife and people and the benefit of both, you know, what are you thinking right now? I mean, I can't even imagine what those people are thinking. The entire career that they have built has been circumvented by folks that don't care. They're going to shove it down the public's throat one way or another, and that's what they're trying to do out here. So it's going to be very interesting. You're seeing a lot of organizations opposing this entire initiative now, the sportsmen's organizations, the cattle ranchers, the sheep growers, and just general residents in the Western Slope and beyond now are coming to realize this isn't a good idea at all. And I think even the residents of Denver, some of whom might have even signed the petition to put this on the ballot, are probably reconsidering right now. So we'll see. We're going to know in November, you know, what sort of power and influence the sportsmen have.
Let's do this. Let's do this. I mean, interrupt you. Let's take a break because we need to. And when we come back, okay, I'd love to ask you. You've been involved in national politics from the point of view of working on behalf of sportsmen across the country. And let's talk, we have obviously an election coming in November. What is the role of sportsmen? Well, let's talk about that when we come back. We're visiting with Chris Dorsey, who is the founder and president of Dorsey TV, a contributor to many magazines, in this case Forbes today. So we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them, and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and I hope you're enjoying this morning's show. We're visiting with Chris Dorsey, the founder and president of Dorsey TV, which is the leading producer of outdoor television programming, among other things, in America. He also is a frequent writer. In this case, we've been talking about his recent article in Forbes magazine about the reintroduction of wolves. Mm-hmm. Chris, before the break, I said we would switch from wolves and ballot box initiatives, which are designed to knock out science. And I love the word ballot box biology, because if you have spent your life, and actually, Chris, the head of wildlife for the Division of Wildlife in Colorado is a guy named Jeff Versteeg, who had the similar role here in Illinois. And the irony, and I've known him well for many years, the irony in part is Jeff Versteeg left the state of Illinois because politics were interfering with wildlife management. And yet the horror show you just described in Colorado, I'm sure a career and a man of real integrity and stature must be wondering, why have I spent my life doing this just so that I can be no science at the ballot box. But let me ask you, what about sportsmen? Historically, the sportsman's vote has been quite important in electing presidents. Is it still important? We're not going to talk about the NRA today. That'll be for another show for us, Chris, and all the problems that are happening there. But is the sportsmen's and women's block, that's because, Chris, we don't have an hour. Is the sportsmen's and women's block still a critical voting block in America, particularly in swing states?
Well, I think it is in swing states. It's a state-by-state case because, quite frankly, I think now hunters and fishermen are greater than this. But hunters now are less than 5% of the general population. Now, having said that, they tend to vote 70-80% are voters and much more active than the general population politically. And I think they're also great influencers as well. But it's a question of what gets them motivated. And in the state of Colorado, I think you're going to see this surge because of these issues like the wolf issue. And just to go back to that real quickly, the other thing that's quite amazing about what's happened out here is by law in the state of Colorado, the professional agency is not allowed to comment on these ballot initiatives, even though they're the only state science entity that really is qualified to talk about the wolves in a wolf introduction. By law, they cannot talk. So it's a double whammy. But I think politically, you're seeing sportsmen getting more active. I had dinner the other night with Senator Gardner, who was really the chief architect in the Senate of the Great American Outdoors Act just a few weeks ago, signed by the president. And I said to him, I said, look, you know, Colorado, and he's in a very tough race here in Colorado, and he's the incumbent. He's going up against the former governor. But I said, look, you know, the sporting community out here, I think, is looking at this wolf issue. I don't know what you want to do in terms of weighing in, but conservation is a big deal to these sportsmen and land access. You just put a big stake in the ground getting some tremendous legislation passed. And, you know, and we'll see if he takes advantage of that, if he activates that base, if you will, and really supercharges them, because I think he's going to need that if he's got a shot at winning. So we're going to find out in November just how influential these sportsmen are.
Well, Chris, we could go on for a long time. I'd love to do a show with you in the coming weeks, because you are close to it, at least as to having watched this unfold to what has happened to the National Rifle Association, which we all think is a Second Amendment organization. But frankly, Chris, they've done incredible things for the future of wildlife management and hunting and outdoor recreation in America, all of which may be somewhat compromised now because of what's happening. But thanks for being with us. I hope, Chris, you don't get a wolf tag in Western Colorado, because that means that this ballot initiative was a success. But you've been wonderful to be with us, and will you come back again, I hope?
Absolutely. Thanks, Charlie. I appreciate it. Good to be with you.
Chris Dorsey, the founder and president of Dorsey TV. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America. Thank you for listening on WGN Radio, 720 Chicago.